Good morning again. Thank you so much, Mr. George, for that song. The song was really beautiful, and the first time we did it, it was like a special music. But the second time, I'm glad everybody joined. Very nice music, nice song. And thank you, Mr. Trevor, for the sermonet that started with, "Hearken, O my people. Incline your ears to me, O my people," which has a lot to do with my message today. So, you know, sometimes when we come here, we speak for a longer time, and sometimes we have a few words to say. Today, I'm going to have a few words to say today. But it's so much connected to the sermonet. And it's a question today: how is the word of God flourishing in you? How is God's word flourishing in you? Is God's word growing? Is it growing? Is it flourishing? Are the leaves green? How is God's word doing in you, inside of you, personally? If you turn to the book of John 6:63, the book of John 6, John 6:63. Jesus Christ said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So God's word is life and is spirit. So anything that has life has the ability to grow and flourish if the opportunity and the fertile ground is provided. And the same applies to God's word, the word that we hear every day by day. What happens to it? Do we allow it to flourish? Do we allow it to grow? Do we allow, you know, God's word to dominate our minds? Or are we choking it up every day by day? Let's go to the parable of the sower. In the book of Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, from verse 3. "I spoke many things unto them in parable." Remember where Mr. Morales read in the book of Psalms? He says, "I opened my mouth in parables." Talked about speaking in parables in the book of Psalms 78. Say, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good grounds and brought forth fruits, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who had ear to hear, let him hear." So God's word is not something that is just there. It's something that grows. It's something that grows every day by day and occupies space inside of us. And the more space God's word occupies inside of us, the more we'll bear fruit, more of spiritual fruit. Having spiritual character or godly character is not something we sit down and decide, "Oh, I'll behave in a certain way. I'll live my life in a certain way." It's not like quitting smoking. You can say, I'll quit smoking today, and you quit. But possessing godly character, you need God's word, God's spirit to dwell in you, and God's word needs to grow and grow and grow in you, then you'll be able to produce godly character. And Jesus Christ gave this parable about God's word being choked up, many factors that could affect the word of God that is inside of us. Do we experience this? Are we so much in love with the word? When we see ourselves so much in love with the word will choke the word of God that we have inside of us. When we see ourselves so much in love with the things of the world, with politics, with everything that is going on in the world, those things are capable of choking the word of God that is inside of us, and it will not grow. It will not grow. And Jesus Christ gave also another parable in the book of Matthew 13:31. The same Matthew, just go to 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air cometh and lodge in the branches thereof. That's how the kingdom of God is. That's how the word of God is. That's how the spirit of God works. It grows and grows. And the more it grows, the more it occupies space in our minds, in our life. Then we'll be bearing more fruit. We'll be more accommodating. We'll be patient. We'll love more. We'll do more. We'll produce more of godly character. But the most important thing is to make sure that we are growing, that God's word is growing inside of us. God's word is life and is spirit. And when we hear these words every day by day, and we allow them to grow, allowing it to grow means abstaining from certain behaviors, abstaining from certain way of lives, like where we read in the book of Psalm 1:1. You know those things that choke God's word. We avoid them and pray and read our scriptures and meditate. That is how God's words can grow inside of us. But this is very important, to take God's word seriously. If not, we'll come here for 50 years. Every Sabbath day we'll go home and nothing will happen. No changes. We'll remain the same. Jesus Christ also says something about the word of God or the kingdom of God in Matthew 13:33. The same place, but just go to 33. The same place. Matthew 13:33. Say, another parable spoke he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So, that is what the word of God looks like. It's something that grows. It's something that increases. It's something that increases. And we have that role. We have that part to play in increasing the word of God. We must provide a fertile ground, enabling environment for the word of God to increase and grow inside of us. And look at what Jesus Christ said in Luke 17:20. Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God shall come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. So we are expecting God's kingdom to come. But right now, we have to live are alive as if that God's kingdom is here already. Because we have a deposit of God's kingdom inside of us. We have a spark of God's kingdom inside of us. God's spirit, God's word that we have inside of us. We must ensure that God's word flourishes and increases. This is very important. John 3:30. Let's see what John the Baptist says about Jesus Christ. John 1 told us that Jesus Christ is the word, and that he came and the word was made flesh. Look at what he said. John 3. John 3, verse 30. John was referring to Jesus Christ. And he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is very important. Jesus Christ must increase in us, and there is need for us to decrease. There is need for us to decrease. Our pride to decrease. Selfishness to decrease. Hate to decrease. Everything that has to do with this flesh and the desires of the flesh must decrease for Christ to increase. He must increase and we must decrease. This is very important. He must increase and we must decrease. How do you know when Christ is increasing and when we are decreasing? You know, the Bible says something about following the multitude to sin. When Christ is increasing in us, we see a lot of difference between us and the world. A lot of things that the world do, we think this is right and we just join. We find out that those things are wrong. Like Jesus Christ, when he came here, he was isolated because of his character and his teachings. And when we believe in God, and when God's word begins to grow in us, we have a different way. We walk in a different way from the world. And we see ourselves standing in isolation somehow. But anytime you see yourself being fully part of the world, you enjoy everything they do there. You enjoy everything that is going on there. It's not a good sign that God's word is growing. It's not a good sign. When the world hates people, you join them to hate with no explanation. When the world goes to war, you join them to go to war with no explanation. We must have a different way of life, different way of thinking, and it must align with the Bible. That's one of the signs. If you turn to 1 Samuel 2:26, talked about Samuel growing. 1 Samuel 2:26. This place is talking about Samuel. When Samuel was born, his mother brought him to the church and dedicated him to God. And the Bible said, and the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. So Samuel grew up in the fear of God, and every day by day, God's word continued to increase in Samuel and to grow in Samuel. The people saw him even before Eli died. The people saw and knew that this Samuel, this child, was going to be a prophet, because it was so obvious that he was growing in the fear of God. We read Matthew 13:3, the parable of the sower. It tells us the factors that could affect the word of God, the spoken word of God, the spirit of God that we have inside of us. And it also tells us how God's word can flourish if it has good grounds. Let us see one of the ways that God's word will not flourish inside of us. And I want us to turn to Luke 15, verse 11, the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, 11. There are certain things that we do that will diminish or choke God's words that we have inside of us. Luke 15. Luke 15, 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substances with riotous living. So this son asked for his portion, and they gave it to him, and he went to a far country. That is the same thing that happens to us. When we walk away from God, when we walk away from God, and we create this distance between us and God, that is how we lose the word of God that is inside of us. This child left and went to a far country. He lost communication with his father, communication with his family, and there he lost everything and he became poor. The same thing will happen to us. If we don't draw close to God, if every day by day we are going our own way, God is here and we are going this way, we'll lose contact and connection with God. And we'll become spiritually bankrupt in a matter of time. That is what happens. So Bible, God wants us to always draw close to him every day by day. Always drawing close to God, studying the word of God, praying and meditating, staying around brethren. That is how to grow the word of God that we have inside of us. But if we are like the prodigal son that wants to go to a far country, every day by day, every Sabbath, we come here and we hear the word of God, and we get home and we continue doing the same thing that we used to do before in the past, walking away from God, then the word of God will not flourish. The word of God will not flourish. The prodigal son, that was exactly what he did. He got all his share and he left. He went to a far country. He was not hearing from his father. He was not hearing from his family. We don't want to do anything like that. The Bible says in the book of James, say, draw close to God. Draw close to God and he will draw close to you. We must ensure that we are close to God. And if you turn to the book of Proverbs 6:16, it tells us the things that God hates. The things that God hates. If we do these things, God will not abide with us. God will not dwell inside of us. Proverbs 6:16. Proverbs 6:16. Say, these six things that the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and a hand that sheds innocent blood. A proud look. To learn, we need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves to learn from God. And it says, a proud look. Where does proud look come from? It comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. Jesus Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And whatsoever that you see around us, it emanates from our heart. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that sheds innocent blood. There are people who kill, shed innocent blood with firearm. There are people who do it with cutlass. Others do it with their mouth, with their tongue. It depends. It doesn't matter how you did it, how you killed someone, how you killed an innocent person. Maybe through your mouth, maybe by instigating others. God hates it. God hates it. And sometimes when we also cause other people to sin, and that sin leads to death, we are in a way indirectly committing murder as well. So we must be very careful. Proud look and lying tongue. It's easy for us to lie sometimes because, you know, we feel a little bit comfortable when we lie. We try to please others, just a little lie to make others happy. God hates lying tongue, no matter how big or how little that lie is. We must be very careful to say we are coming in 5 minutes and we come in 20 minutes. To say, I was there, I came 5 minutes late. But, you know, no matter how little the lie is, we must be very careful with it. And had that devise wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Sometimes we speak some things, we don't have enough information to speak. We go ahead to speak. Maybe someone give us information and, you know, we promote it. We share and share and share. Sometimes you see some things on the internet and they tell you share. You don't even know the source. You don't have a lot of information. You go ahead and you went ahead and you shared it. We must be very careful. We must be very careful. These are the things God hates. If we continue to do these things, God's word will not flourish inside of us. God's word will not grow inside of us. It will not increase. He that soweth discord among brethren. How do we sow discord among brethren? Sometimes we don't even know that we are sowing discord. We don't even know. It's better for us sometimes to keep quiet. To keep quiet than to sow discord among brethren. God hates it. God hates it. Say, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Just like we read in the book of Psalm 78, where it says, incline thy ears to me and to my laws. So these are the things we must abstain from, these things, if we want God's word to flourish and grow in us. If you turn to the book of Psalms 1 verse 1. The book of Psalms 1 verse 1. Psalms 1 1. So blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. This is how to flourish God's spirit and God's word that we have inside of us. That does not stand in the way of sinners, nor in the counsel of the ungodly. This is very important. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Say, he's green, his leaves shall be green, and it will not wither. If we stay away from the counsel of the ungodly, if we stay away from the seat of sinners and the scornful, if we meditate on God's law and do them and delight in them, then God's law, God's word will flourish inside of us. Every day by day, we'll feel that peace of having God's spirit, of being a child of God. We'll feel that peace. We experience that peace. So the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drive away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinner in the congregation of the righteous. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is very important. So when we hear God's word, we must preserve it. We must guard it jealously. We know certain places that we can go to, and it will affect what we have inside of us, what we carry inside of us. We avoid such places. We know the kind of friends that we keep that will affect what we believe, that will influence our belief and what we carry inside of us, and we avoid them. Like a pregnant woman, the doctor will tell you, don't eat this, don't drink this, don't do that. The same applies to us. The same applies to us, God's people. We must abstain from certain things, from certain ways of life, in order for God's spirit and the word of God to flourish and grow and have branches and bear abundant fruits inside of us, which, if it happens, everybody will see it. The world will see it. People around us will see it. Our community will see it. To be like a light, just like these lights are shining and we are using it. It will shine and everybody will see it. And if you turn to John 14:21. I say, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loved me. And he that loved me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and we will manifest myself to him. So Jesus Christ promises that if we love him, we keep his commandment, and his Father will love us, and he will love us too, and he will manifest himself to us. Some other versions will say we'll come and make our abode. So this is the environment that God and the Spirit of God or the Word of God needs to flourish inside of us. James 4. James 4 from verse 7. This is how we grow the word of God and increase it every day by day. James 4:7. And it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We cannot have two captains in the same ship. God wants us to submit to him and resist the devil so that the devil will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We need to submit to God. We need to submit to God. Like we read earlier that says God hates a proud look. We need to humble ourselves before God and submit to him. Draw close to him every day by day, unlike the prodigal son that went to a far country. We must draw close to God, and we must understand that what causes that gulf or that separation between us and God, according to Isaiah 59, is our sin. Our sin is what separates us from our God. If we stay away from the counsel of the ungodly, if we stay away from the seat of sinners and scornful, if we read the laws of God and meditate on them and do them. That is how to draw close to God every day by day. And we humble ourselves and submit to God. The Bible said, and resist the devil and he will flee. And God will grow, God's word will grow and grow and grow. Because Jesus Christ, in so many occasions, in so many parables that he told, tells us that God's word can grow. The Spirit of God can increase in us every day by day. God's word, God's grace can increase every day by day. But we must provide enabling environment for God's word to increase. If you turn to Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Remember Jesus Christ. When he came here as a child, the people were so marveled when Jesus Christ spoke the word of God. He never went to school. Nobody taught him, but he was filled with God's Spirit. Every day by day, as he was growing up, God's word continued to grow and grow and grow in him, according to Isaiah 11. And we all read that story. And look at what Philippians is telling us, that we can replicate that in our own lives. We can replicate that in our own lives. Philippians 2:5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God had highly exalted him and given him name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let this mind be in you. We know the story of Jesus Christ, how he grew in the fear of God. And he was filled with the Spirit of God every day by day. It increased according to the book of John, chapter 3, that says, he must increase and I must decrease. The same thing applies to us. The Bible is telling us that we can replicate the life of Jesus Christ inside of us. If we will only have the mind of Jesus Christ and allow that same mind that was in Jesus Christ to be in us, to humble ourselves before God, just like the book of James said, and submit to God no matter who we are, no matter our background, no matter our skin color, no matter what we think about ourselves, humble ourselves before God and submit to God. We can replicate the same mind of Jesus Christ inside of us, where God's Spirit and God's Word can grow and flourish, and we will shine like light. Anywhere we go, anywhere we find ourselves. Say, let this mind be in you. Are we going to allow that mind to be in us? Are we going to allow that mind of Jesus Christ to be in us? That's very difficult. Even in the church, it's very difficult. But if we continue to press on with time, the mind of Christ will dwell in us in its fullness. Christ did not quarrel with anybody. Christ did not argue or fight with anybody. The Bible said he was rejected. They make jest of him. When you see him, you will not even know. There's nothing attractive about him that will make you like him or that will make him desire him. He was afflicted, according to Isaiah 53. But he did not open his mouth. He did not open his mouth. How much can we take from other people? Normally, you know, a lot of us like to give it back immediately. Like to give it back immediately. Jesus Christ went through a lot. He went through a lot, but the Bible said he did not open his mouth. That is the kind of mind that the Bible said we should have inside of us. That's the kind of mind that God wants us to have in order for God's word to flourish. When he says that the tree grows and the birds of the field came and they perched on it, the tree is very patient. If you look at the tree, you notice that the tree is very patient. You go close to the tree and you are cutting the tree. The tree is not doing anything. It's not responding. It's just standing there. The birds are perching on it, dropping feces on it. The tree is not responding. That's the mindset of Jesus Christ. The mind of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you. If we will allow this mind to be in us, it's very hard. It's very tough. We'll look foolish before the world. We'll look stupid before everybody. But that is what God wants. And afterwards, the Bible said that God exalted Jesus Christ. God exalted him and made him the head of all principalities and powers. At the mention of his name, everything will bow. And this is the mind that God wants us to have inside of us. If you turn to Matthew 16:24, Jesus Christ said, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So Jesus Christ said, deny yourself, carry your cross and follow me. John said, he must increase and I must decrease. This is very important. We cannot grow our selfish desires, our fleshly lust, at the same time with our spiritual desires and spiritual qualities. One must stay down for the other to increase. And Jesus Christ said, we must deny ourselves. And we must trust in God to save us instead of trying to save ourselves by having all the possessions in the whole world, by having all the riches in the whole world, by gathering all the power, the most powerful person in the whole world. And Jesus Christ said, those things are not necessary. Those things are not necessary. If we go that route, we'll definitely lose our lives. We remember people like Hitler. We remember stories about great men that fought wars, like Achilles, like Julius Caesar, Hitler. We have in Putin, even the presidents of the United States. They are very powerful. They can go to another country and destroy it and render it useless. They are very powerful. But God is saying such power will not save us. Such powers will not give us our lives back. Remember, most of these people are dead, and the ones that are living, one day we'll still hear that they are gone. But nobody can stand the power of God. But God says, deny yourself, remove pride, remove arrogance, humble yourself before God. Learn from him how to live a spiritual life, how to live at peace with your neighbor, how to love others, and how to care for others. That's the definition of the kingdom of God, according to Isaiah 11. The strong and the weak we live together in peace. And everybody will flourish because God's knowledge will fill the entire world. God's world will prosper. God's world will flourish because we first of all have knowledge before we have peace. If we have knowledge, there will be no conflict in the world. If we have godly knowledge enough, there will be no conflict in the world. All the wars that we see, all the bloodshed that we see, there will be no need for all these things. So God will bring knowledge and allow it to flourish in the world, then we will have peace, according to Isaiah 11. If you turn to the book of Micah, chapter 6, Micah 6. Micah 6, 8. Micah 6, 8. And it says, He has shown thee, O man, what is good. God has shown us what is good, but that is not enough. Knowing what is good is not enough. He said, What does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God requires something from us. He has shown us the way. He has shown us what is good and what is right. Then he requires us to implement it. He requires us to order our lives according to everything that he has shown us. And that is how God can flourish. His spirit and his word can flourish inside of us. So he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And Romans 14:7. Romans 14:7. Romans 14:7. Oh, 14:17. Romans 14:17. He said, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when we are eating and when we are drinking, it's good to eat and drink. But we must ensure that there is righteousness, there's peace, and there's joy in the Holy Spirit. If we eat and forget God, if we drink and forsake God, that's not a representation of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we must remember this for God's word to flourish, for God's word to flourish inside of us. 1 Corinthians 15:33. So these are some of the things we've said before, we're just reinforcing them. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Say, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Just like Psalms 1:1 said, if we can avoid the seat of the scornful and the seat of sinners and the counsel of the ungodly, then God's word can flourish inside of us. So how is God's word doing? How is God's spirit doing inside of us? We have to personalize it. How are we doing? Are we seeing changes in our everyday life? Are we seeing changes the way we live with other people? How we tolerate? Our level of tolerance, has it increased? Our level of accommodation, has it increased? How much can we forgive? How much can we take? Somebody asked Jesus Christ, how many times will your brother sin against you and you will not forgive him? Jesus Christ said, until 70 times 7. Do we have people that wrong us in one day up to 70 times? To talk of multiplying it by 7. If not, we do not have any reason not to forgive and not to move on. Jesus Christ was indirectly saying, always forgive, always forget. How much can we forgive? How much can we take? How many minutes can we sit down and listen to other people teach us without arguing with them? How receptive are we to God's word? Because the Bible says love endures all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Are we closer to all these qualities? This is how we know that God's word and God's spirit is flourishing in us. Until one day, if we continue to have the mind of Christ inside of us, the word of God will grow and grow and grow one day and occupy the entire space inside our heart. And we will no longer struggle with sin. We will no longer struggle with the things that the world struggles with. But we must ensure there is consistency in the increase of the word of God and God's spirit inside of us. If you turn to Proverbs 3, I read this place during the Bible study. Proverbs 3. You must always, always, always remember Proverbs 3. There's a lot of lessons in Proverbs, but Proverbs is one of the Bible portions that we need to read when we're just beginning to study the Bible. Proverbs is very good for beginners. And for all of us, Proverbs is very good. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to thy bone. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. So it tells us to humble ourselves, submit ourselves before God, and trust in him 100%. Not lean on our own understanding. Because God knows far too much to compare with what we know. We don't even know anything. When you look at the universe, you know, the picture taken from the telescope and so on, when you look at it, you see where we are, just a little dot. Just a little dot. That's how limited our knowledge is. That's how limited our powers are. That's how limited everything we have is. So for someone to tell us to trust in God, if we can actually do it, we will succeed. We will be very successful, because we know too far too little to compare with God. Just that little dot, Just that little dot out of millions and billions of other galaxies. Just that little dot. That's where we belong. And that's how much we know. We don't even know more than that. And it's telling us, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in God with all your heart. And acknowledge Him always. This is what we need to do, brethren, if we want God's word to flourish inside of us. First of all, Jesus Christ gave this parable to tell us, to let us know the need to have a fertile ground for God's word. So when we hear it, we allow it to flourish, we allow it to grow for our own good, for our own good. He gave so many parables that tells us that God's word and God's kingdom can increase inside of us if we allow it to grow. And also tells us what and what to do to suppress it, like sitting in the seat of the sinners, whining with sinners, and staying in the way and of the ungodly. Those things are the things that brings, that suppresses the word of God inside of us. It's not actually, nothing can suppress the word of God in the real sense of it. It will suppress us. It will close our ears. It will close our minds from understanding God's word. God's word is the same. Nothing changes it. Nothing changes it. But these things will affect us, will not give ear, will not have good understanding. But when we remove them, we'll be able to pay 100% attention to what God is saying. And then we'll grow, and the word of God continue to grow inside of us. Nothing can suppress or change the word of God. And Proverbs 6:16 tells us the things that God hates, and we must be mindful of those things. And then went ahead to say the things that we can do to help God's word flourish inside of us, like drawing close to God every day by day, submitting ourselves to Him, humbling ourselves just like Jesus Christ according to the book of Philippians 2:5. Humbling ourselves and submitting to God for God to lift us up. And brethren, this is what we need to do if we want to increase. And I'm going to read Isaiah 9:7. Isaiah 9:7 still talking about God's kingdom. Isaiah 9:7. And this is how our mind will be if we allow God's word to flourish inside of us. If we deny ourselves, look up to God, and then God's word will increase and increase. Isaiah 9:7 is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. I'll read from 6, Isaiah 9:6. Say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So, Jesus Christ was here, and God's word grew and increased and increased and increased. And the Bible says that his government will increase and there will be no end to the increase. Just as we know from the book of Daniel chapter 4, the vision that the king saw, where he saw a stone that was cut out without a hand, and it fell and crushed the image, and the stone, the little stone, grew and grew and grew and covered the entire earth. That is the kingdom of God. It grows. It grows so rapidly. Let's not suppress it. Let's not stop it. Let's allow God's word and God's spirit to flourish inside of us. So we will even experience peace and even the kingdom of God while we are here on earth if we allow God's word to flourish inside of us. And I want to end also with the same question I asked initially. Is God's word and God's spirit flourishing in you? Is God's word and God's spirit flourishing in all of us? We must let God and his word increase every day by day, and we must intentionally submit to God and decrease every day by day. Amen.